What a beautiful selection by the choir. And these songbooks feel wore out today. Amen. They haven't been used like that in a long time. I thought they were just for looks. Amen. I come from a family that my father was a pastor. He's been gone almost 20 years. Had a marvelous voice, led a lot of congregations. But it's probably a good thing he's been gone 20 years because he was already struggling with the change in music that was taking place 20 years ago. And I've many times heard him step to the pulpit and just start an old song, or he'd look at the keyboardist and say, "Do you know such and such a song?" And they'd look at him with a confused look, and he'd say, "You're going to." And there he'd go, amen. So I've been guilty of the same thing from time to time, pulling the old ones out, and we have some folks that enjoy them. I do enjoy the message of a lot of the old songs. It's great to worship God, but there's a lot of great stories, a lot of great messages in these songs that we find that we've got away from, amen. But what a nice change, amen. I don't know if we call it going crazy. I think that's what they said, amen. Maybe we went crazy when we got away from the songbooks. That might be it, amen. But it's indeed a privilege to be here again today. I did not know I was going to have this opportunity. And you probably didn't either, so we're all shocked together, and I'm honored. I truly mean that. I appreciate the confidence of this church board in allowing me to fill your pulpit. It has been an unusual experience, I'm sure, for all of us, and I want to congratulate you on the election of your new pastor last week. I got to thinking about it after I heard you elected a pastor. I think it had been since December you didn't have a pastor, and all it took was 2 weeks of listening to me, you decided you needed a pastor. Amen. So I'm glad I was able to motivate you, help you out. Amen. And he will be here soon. I met him yesterday, a very wonderful man. And I'm sure God has good things in store for this congregation. And I think I'm going to get to be with you maybe one or two more times until he arrives. But I just want the will of God to be done, not only in my life, not only in your life, but for the church. Amen. When I say the church, I'm not talking about just Heritage Baptist. I'm talking about Grace Point. I'm talking about the church in general. Amen. And if there was a day, if there ever was a day that the church needed to come back to its foundation and understand, there's some things that we've allowed, I'm afraid, to slip away that we need to get back to and say, God, take us back to our roots. Take us back to that original place of relationship with you. Amen. How many remember the day God first ministered in your life? I hope you do. I know what it feels like to have the call of God rest upon you. And sometimes we get away from that and think we don't need it. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that he daily loads us down with benefits. But I'm not sure he can benefit us if we're not paying attention to his will. If we're doing our own thing, going our own direction. Amen. We need God's will and God's direction in our lives. What I'm going to speak to you about today, and I sort of feel like I've been heading in one direction, but I have felt very strongly to bring to you the words that I have, and I'm not preaching anything to you that I don't preach in my own church. I only know to preach what I believe God would lay upon my heart, and I pray that it becomes a blessing in your life. I took the list of scriptures to the back end and said, whoever is doing this today has got their work cut out for them, because I had a big list of scriptures, so they must have decided it was a good day not to be here. Amen. So if you don't have your Bibles with you, then you're just going to have to believe me. Amen. If you do have your Bibles with me, I ask you to follow along. Amen. I appreciate the words on the wall and the music on the wall and the scriptures on the wall, but I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God still needs to be an important part of our life, amen, and the Word of God needs to be with us as often as possible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, a very familiar portion of scripture. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures when it comes to change in our lives, allowing God to make us into what He would have us to be. But the reality is that change comes hard for most of us. Most of us struggle with change. We like things to be as they've always been. Amen. But I was told, and I think I may even said this, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. And I believe it's God's will for us to have change in our lives, for us to be led by the Spirit and for Him to work in and through us. Amen. The reason that change comes hard is that we have to change for there to be a change take place. So often we're looking for the change to come in other people. We're waiting for someone else to do something different. Maybe for some of you, the fact that the church has now elected a pastor, you say, well, there's a change probably going to come. We have a new pastor. Things may go in a different direction, and that's all well and good. But I believe that it's God's will for each one of us to be open to Him changing us as individuals. Maybe you could say amen today. It helped me a little bit. Amen. If God wants to, I want Him to change my life. Amen. We struggle because when we imagine life, we like to feel confident in what's going to happen and where we're going to go and how it's going to all work out. But we can no more live and not have change than we can jump without the impact of gravity upon our lives. Therefore, to lives, it's an experience. It's necessary that we change. And any thought that we can't change is truly irrational. It's pure illusion. The question is, are we willing to change? Amen. There's been a lot of change in our world, lots of changes. As I said, referring to my father, even in 20 years, I've tried to think of all the changes that have happened in 20 years since he's been gone. It's actually phenomenal if you really stop and think about it. If you think about how our world is changing. If you go back many more years than that and you think of the fact that there was a day that women didn't have a right to vote and that a black man did not have a right to sit in the front of a city bus. Amen. When you think about the fact that we had problems with smallpox and polio and that those were things that killed us. But thank God for change. Thank God there's been a transformation. And we can try to resist change, and I can try to resist change and stay the way I am, or I can release my resistance to change. And when I do, it's almost like that hot air balloon. I'm fascinated by them. You see them as they sit on the ground, and there's that basket there, and they fill them with air. But there's always those sandbags that are holding it in place. But somewhere along the line, when somebody steps up and removes the sandbags, that thing is able to soar. It is able to raise into the heavens, not instantly, not in a moment's time, but it slowly begins to rise. And when we allow ourselves to be open to God's will for our lives, and we say, I'm going to take the resistance off of you, God, then we can expect some things to be different. We can expect to grow in Him. We can expect to raise up in Him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1 that we are to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. It is easy for us to get tied down. It's easy to have stuff, I don't know any better way to say it, that becomes a part of our life that keeps us from being possibly what God wants us to be and what we would like to be in Him. You see, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. And if I keep doing what I've done, I'm going to get what I've always got. So my question to you today is, are you looking for change? Are you open to what God would do in your life? I really believe, I've watched over the last couple of weeks, and I appreciate your response. I understand that maybe it's been a little bit different, but I can't hardly end a service. I have trouble ending a Bible study without allowing people to come to an altar. You see, I believe that's where change happens. The altar is a place where we respond to what God is doing in our lives. So often we think that that's for the sinner, it's for the person that has no relationship. But I'm going to tell you, when I look back in the scripture, the men of God that were effective, they always had altars in their lives. Amen. And yes, the altar is for the sinner, but it's for all of us. And I started to say, I appreciate your response. It may be a little unusual for you, but I promise you, whether it's here within the sanctuary or whether it's in your home or wherever it is, everybody needs an altar. I said, everybody needs an altar. Amen. Everybody needs an altar. And if we're going to have change, it's going to require that. Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I'm afraid we've done that sometime within the church. We have to understand here today that nothing's going to change in our lives unless we're willing to let it happen. Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning when he said, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. You say, amen, oh me, it doesn't matter to me. I know it's true, amen. It's true. Try to change something and you'll find resistance every time. And if I'm trying to change and you're resisting, that bothers me. But am I willing to change for my sake? Or do I want to change only you? Oh, I'd love to change some people. There's a lot of people I'd like to change, amen. I don't want to go there. I need to stay away from that, amen. But am I willing to change me? Am I willing to allow God to change me and help me to conform to the image of what He wants me to be? You see, change can be very threatening. And the reason for that is it brings with it a certain level of uncertainty. And because of the uncertainty, people develop an attitude or a spirit of fear. Can I tell you that the spirit of fear doesn't come from God? In fact, the Bible clearly states in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. Come on, be apostolic a minute. Of power and of love and of a sound mind. He hasn't given us fear. He's given us power. He's given us love and He's given us a sound mind. So fear comes from somewhere other than from God, and I think we all understand that. We cannot be afraid of change. Change is a good thing in our lives. Change can be exactly what we need. Change can cause us to become what He wants us to be. You see, change ultimately will happen in individuals. It happens sometimes within a marriage, or if a business is going to progress, they have to be willing to change. They have to be willing to change some things with the times, so to speak. Organizations in general have to change. The church now and then, and I believe more now than then, has to be willing to change. Amen. But we have to be willing to change because we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Even in the people of Christ's day, amen, when Christ came, they rejected Him. Why? Because they were looking for and expecting the promised Messiah to come. But when He came, He didn't come the way expected them to come, nor did He do what they wanted Him to do. We many times have misconceived ideas of what God really chooses to do. And I'm sorry, I might be doing more preaching than preaching today, but we sometimes put God in this box and say, God, this is where I want you, and this is how I want you to work, and if you'll just do it this, 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 and this, everything will be all right. You can't put God in a box. Amen. All you're going to do is box yourself in. You're not going to box God in, because God doesn't do that. You become frustrated because God's not doing what I ask Him to do. Are you doing what God's asked you to do? Ting, there's a pin dropping. Amen. Getting awful quiet around here. Another week or two, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Seriously. We need to allow ourselves to be open to what God has for us. Our world rejected Christ because of their unwillingness to change, because they had confined him to what they wanted him to be. Amen. One of the greatest motivations for serving God is allowing him to change you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man, everybody say any man. That's me, that's you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Amen. When we think about that, it lets us know that there can be change in our lives, that God wants to transform us. I don't have to stay the way that I am. I don't have to be the person that I've always become. I don't have to be that worrier, the one that frets over everything that happens. I don't have to be someone who's despondent most of the time, and I surely don't have to be the one that allows sin to control my life. Amen. And I don't have to be destroyed by a lack of self-esteem. Why? Because I'm a child of God, and if I allow God to work in my life, God will make me into what he wants me to be. He will do the work in my life that only he can do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. According to the scripture, things can change. In fact, it doesn't say it can change. It will change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. It will change. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen that little saying, imagine life differently. I'm telling you, as a child of God, we need to begin to imagine life differently. We need to begin to imagine ourselves being something other than we are. We ought to imagine ourselves growing in him, allowing him to be more in control of our lives each and every day. Imagine your life without all the stuff that keeps you from being happy. Imagine the moment, amen, that you can get out of bed in the morning and truly feel the peace of God in your life. Imagine for a moment what it would be like to go through an entire day without feeling depressed or angry or jealous or unloved. I'm here to tell you, those are the changes God wants to make in our lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But how do I become in Christ? I find that scripture interesting. If he be in Christ, if he be in Christ. I began to look at that scripture a while back. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. The Bible said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. You see, we can be in Christ. In our baptism, we are buried with him. Amen. The Bible said, and we're buried into Christ, buried with him in baptism. There's a change that happens when we begin our walk with God, when we've repented, when we've accepted the Lord in our lives, and we begin to fulfill the scriptures, and we allow ourselves to be buried in the waters of baptism. We allow his spirit to begin to work in our lives. It is the beginning of a transformation. But you say, well, that happened to me a long time ago, preacher, so I don't need to go back there. No, you just need to recognize that God wants to do a work in you today. Today. God wants to do a work in your life. God wants to transform you today. God wants to allow change to happen within your life today. That new life that the Bible tells us about. It says you'll walk in the newness of life. It means that you're not going to act the way you used to act. You're not going to talk the way you used to talk. You probably won't go all the places you used to go, and you won't feel the same way about some things as you used to feel them. Something changes. And I'm telling you what it is. It's a Spirit of God that begins to work in your lives like never before. The Bible calls it a newness of life. Amen. It's a newness of life. It says you'll walk in the newness of life. I've used the illustration so many times, but most all of you in here, most of you probably have children. You've all experienced children as they begin to walk. I don't mean to make light, but I've used the illustration that when my boys begin to walk, amen, they just weren't real good at it. You know, you get down there and it's, come on, come on, come on. They take about one step and they fall. And I looked at my wife and said, he's retired, he'll never make it. Not really. Because we expect that when they're beginning to walk. We expect them to fall. We expect them to stumble. But the longer they walk and the farther they go, then there needs to be a transformation. You don't have to stand there with your hands extended. When they're 10 years old, hopefully you're not saying, come on, come on, come on. So we begin our walk with God, and as we do, there's things that happen, and we become more consistent. We don't trip and fall as often as we did, and we don't stumble over the things that we once did. We allow ourselves, amen, to grow in Him, and we become more of what He wants to be, and we become more confident in our walk with God. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't matter how old you are. I still own a business, and I'm out on the road a lot and going into businesses and among many things that I do. But this past year, for some crazy reason, twice I've fallen. And I can't even put my finger on it. Once was right outside the glass doors here a few months ago. It bothers me because I don't know that I tripped. I don't know what it was. But it's amazing when you fall down a couple times in a short period of time, how you begin to be a little more careful about things. You look a little closer. And it doesn't matter how long you've lived for God, we all fall down. There was a little chorus that said, a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. But when we get up, we have to be a little more careful because we know that there's something that has tripped us up out there. There's something that has troubled us. So it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God today, in your relationship with Him, whether you're that child that's just beginning to walk, or if you've walked a long time, or, and I don't want to offend any of us that are getting older. I'm probably a lot older than some of you think. Amen. It's funny that the longer you walk and the more confident you get, but as you get older, sometimes we take things for granted and maybe we become a little weak and we begin to fall down again. If there ever was a time that we need God in our lives, I'll tell you when it is. It's from the time we first accepted Him until the time we see Him. And everything in between, we need God directing our steps. We need to walk in that newness of life. We need, but if it's a new life and if it's a transforming life, then there's some things that are constantly going to take place. You see, God never is going to leave someone the way He found them. You look in the scriptures, you see Him walking, amen, down the road, and there were those that wanted to walk by blind Bartimaeus. There were those that wanted to ignore Him, but the Master couldn't ignore him. When He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me, everybody else said, be quiet, let it be, you stay right there. But Jesus saw his faith, and He called him, and He ministered to his need. Somebody else may say, you just need to let those things be. It's part of your life. It's always going to be there. Those are shortcomings, are failures, are sins. Accept that we're all sinners. I'm here to tell you that's not the will of God for our lives. If you begin to call on the name of the Lord, if you begin to ask God, amen, to strengthen you and to help you and to heal your body and to heal your mind, God is able, the Bible says, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we are able to ask or even, somebody help me. Think above all we're able to ask. So in other words, if I can dream it, God says you can become that and more. If you're willing to reach out, you can do that and more. I'm not talking about being silly today. I know we all live in this world, and we have to go through life living a normal life, but the Bible says we're not of this world. We're just pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through. One old songwriter said, soon this life will all be over, and our work on earth is done. I'm looking forward to that day, but it's amazing. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody today. Why is that? I'll tell you why I think it is. I think we've not allowed God to really do in our lives what he wants to do. I'm talking about all of us. I believe God wants to do more in our lives than he ever has. God wants to bless. He wants to encourage. Amen. He wants to do things in our lives beyond our comprehension. I remember what it was to need Christ in my life. I was just a child. But I already knew what sin had done. I already knew that feeling of discomfort when I couldn't sleep at night as just a young teenager, because I knew there were things in my life that weren't right. I'm sure I'm not the only one here, but I remember being baptized and going down in the waters of baptism after I repented. And I remember as just a young teenager, and I wasn't a horrible kid, I was just a kid. I just normal, but I remember the peace of God that I felt. And I know what it is to walk away from what God wants and to not allow him to direct your steps, and that uneasiness become a part of my life again. And there's something inside of me that says, I want everything that God has for me. I want everything, amen. You see that we're buried in Christ. We become a part of him. Romans therefore says, therefore, Romans 6 and 4, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hebrews 16 and 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. It's a process. It's a work of Calvary. It's what God wants to do. It's craziness to continue to do the same thing and think that something different's going to happen. I've heard people say, I'm going to change, but nothing changed in their life, so therefore nothing changed. They weren't willing to make the changes. There's a saying, we know it well, it's that prayer changes things, and we know that to be true, but can I say this way? It's silly to pray and not expect change to take place. Prayer changes things. If you really want change in your life, it comes through a deeper relationship with him, in knowing him in a greater manner, in making sure that you're in fellowship with him in everything that you do. I told my wife this morning, I said, babe, next week I really want you to find a way to get to be here. I want to introduce you to my wife. But my wife is a wonderful lady. She's put up with me for, believe it or not, it'll be 40 years in September. It's a long time to put up with me. Amen. My mother got rid of me at 18, and my wife took me in. Amen. My brothers, just bear with me a second. My father, my brother, we all married older women, 4 and 5 years older. But most of my brothers at least grew up first. My son that sang here last week said, Mom had to adopt you before she could marry you. Amen. And I said, well, whatever, it worked. Hallelujah. 40 years later, if you do so well, son, God bless you. Amen. But you know, when you think about those things and you talk about relationships, I do things for my wife that I won't do for anyone else. She can just look at me a certain way, and I know. 40 years, it's amazing what you can learn. Not even sign language, it's just facial language. Man, I may be a slow learner, but I 40 years, I'm getting it down. Amen. She's got me there. But she can cause me to change my mind quicker than anybody I know. But the question is, can God change my mind? Can God change my direction? And I'm not talking about starting over today. I don't want anyone to misinterpret what this Pentecostal preacher is saying today. I'm not here accusing anybody. I'm talking about me as well as anybody. I'm talking about, are we open to what God would have us to do? Anytime we get to the point that we think we've got everything God has for us, then we don't understand God. And we've put him in a box somewhere. They tried that. That's how it worked in the Old Testament. But That's why he came to this earth, because in the Old Testament, the box system didn't work so well. Their sins were just rolled ahead 1 year at a time. There never was true forgiveness, never for remission of sins. But he came, and he's out of the box, and he wants to do in us that which he wants to do. Give me just a couple more moments. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you." Humble yourself. Give it all to him. He cares for you. You see, change must happen in life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That he might be glorified. You see, God wants to take your brokenness. He wants to take those things in life that you feel can never be conquered, and he wants to change you. He wants to transform you. Amen. But once again, we have to realize that nothing changes unless I'm willing to change. Romans 12 and 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. The renewing. Not just by having your mind renewed once, but the renewing. It's a constant process. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I want to get to that place that I'm acceptable unto God and that I'm in his will, then I have to constantly be willing to have my mind transformed. Transformation means to go under to undergo a change in structure. It's a genetic modification. You think about it. I worked for a number of years ago, way back, with children's ministry before I got in youth ministry and before I pastored. But we used to sing to the children a little chorus. Maybe some of you have heard it. It said, "Bullfrogs and butterflies both been born again. Bullfrogs and butterflies both been born again." You see, that caterpillar that walks on all 1,000 legs, however many it is, isn't a very attractive creature. But there's a transformation that takes place. And when the transformation takes place, there's beautiful wings that sprout, and that creature that could only crawl now is able to fly. And when we allow God to transform us, we go from that just getting by Christian to somebody that God can use for his glory and his service. However, he gives us wings, as it were, to fly. He allows us to become something more than what we've been. But if there hadn't been a change in that caterpillar's life, he would have died crawling on the ground. But change doesn't come easy. I won't get into all that. But go home and study what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. There's a dying out process. I'll just leave it at that. And that's what we have to do. I don't have the time to go there. But we have to be willing to allow God to do what he wants. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. As long as you stay in the condition you've been, you're going to get the same results. But if you allow God to direct your life, and you'll allow him to begin to conform you into his image, he'll turn your situation around. The man and the woman that you only dreamed about being can become a reality. But it begins with that first step. That first step. And that first step is recognizing that I need change. I need change. I'm not the man, I'm not the woman that God wants me to be. I'm not where he wants. I'm not where I once was, and somehow I feel like God has something more. But I have to accept the fact that I need change in my life. I have to understand where my help comes from. The psalmist said, I know from whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from thee, O God. I understand if there's going to be a change, if there's going to be a transformation, it's going to be because of your mercy and your grace. We try to change. We try to overcome addictions. We try all of these things, but I'm here to tell you, amen, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Casting all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. He cares. The addict, I work with them many times. I deal with a couple of halfway houses here in town, and I watch them. I have a young man that 3 years ago I picked up in the city of Detroit. And I'm going to hurry. Come back to music, so I'll quit here shortly. Amen. I picked him up. A friend called, and they said, you remember such and such? And I said, yeah, I remember. He said, he's in Detroit receiving hospital. I knew he'd been on the streets of Detroit for 20-some years as a drug addict. I walked in his room at Detroit receiving. He didn't know me. I'd have never known him except I got the phone call, and we began to talk. And I looked at him, and I said, Dan, I said, where are you going from here when you get better? He said, don't have anywhere to go. Guess I'm going back to where I've been. If I've ever had God speak to me, God said, you got to take care of him. I was a brave man. I hadn't talked to my wife. I said, no, Dan, when you get ready to come out of there, I'm taking you with me. He said, why would you do that? I said, only because God told me. I said that honestly because I'm thinking, what's this mean? That's been 3 years ago. God's done wonderful things in Dan's life. Dan's been clean. Dan chooses today to live in one of the halfway houses in town here so he can minister to men just like himself. He works with children at the camp that I run during the summertime. But the point is Dan had to be willing to change everything about him. He had to change his environment. He had to leave some friends. I remember driving after about 2 weeks into Detroit. I said, Dan, I'm going in with you. He went to the drug house he lived in. I said, anything you think you need, we're going to get it out because you're not going back there after this. It's not your life no more. And he carried out a few things and put them in the back of my truck. And God's done a work in his life, but he had to be willing to change. All of my help wouldn't do anything. It took him saying, God, I need your help. I need your direction. Maybe God was able to use me in a little way, but it's not me that does it. God did the work in his life. God filled him with the Spirit, and Dan's doing so well today. But he said to me a couple of weeks ago, he said, Pastor, he said, I get so frustrated. He said, the guys that I think I'm making headway with, so many times they just walk away and they're gone. I said, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Welcome to ministry. Because if they don't want change, all the therapy, all the programs, everything this world can offer won't do a thing for them. I know I'm a long way from you and me here today, but it's the same in our lives. If we don't want change, nothing's going to happen. So it begins by me saying, God, I'm an open vessel. I want to change. Casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's in him that we live, that we move, that we have our being. It's Christ that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. So ultimately, I bring you to this point. If you want change, you have to say, yes, I want change. And two, you have to recognize where your help comes from. Would you stand with me? In the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I've been so blessed to minister this your people. God, it's been my privilege, it's been my honor to stand before them and declare that which I feel that you would have me to bring over the last few weeks. Lord, if I never get a chance again, I want you to bless this your people. But today, God, I want you one more time. I know we've done it over the last couple of weeks, but Lord, I want you to speak into our lives. Lord, it's more than just something we do here on Sunday, but Lord, it's a step that we make. It's a commitment. It's a response to the word. That when we ask people to come to this altar, it's our way of saying yes to what we have heard from your word. It's not yes to Pastor Lehman, but it's yes to God. Help us today, Lord, to be open to change. Help us to recognize that every one of us are still in need of transformation. We need to be able to soar. We need to be able to fly beyond any place we've ever been. Move in our lives. Touch each one today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, minister into our lives as individuals and then as a body, as a corporate body, in Jesus' name. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back again. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Come on, would you respond today? Would you join me as they sing?
Though none go with me.
It's a personal decision.
I still will follow.
Though none go with me.
Though none go with me.
What I'm
going to
do is a personal relationship.
I still will follow.
Help us today, Jesus. Help us today, Jesus.
Though none go
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I still will follow. Join me in this altar today, if you will.
No,
if you want change,
back.
If you're looking for God to do more, it's not a one-time do. It's a continuous process. Daily learning. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me. In the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back.
Hallelujah. Come on, my friend. If you want God to move in your life, if you want transformation, let's spend just a few moments in this altar in prayer. Would you join me? Amen. I'm not going to take a long time. I feel God speaking into our lives. Preacher, we've done that. We've done it. I know. But it's constantly. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I'm constantly looking for more of God in my life. I'm constantly having to put my body under subjection. I'm saying yes to your will. As we sing it one more time, come if you will.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Behind me, the cross before.
Father, right now I give thanks to you for your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for where you've brought us from. Thank you for where you're taking us to. Help us, oh God, to say yes to your will, yes to your ways. Bless each one in this house, oh God. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit go before us. Let us make a difference in the world in which we live. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. I don't know of any announcements that we need to make at this time, just to keep us in your prayers. Keep praying for our pastor. He's searching for a place to rent in Monroe, so pray that he'll find a place. Pray that he'll be able to sell his place and rent. And remember, book study tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3, so be there and be much in prayer. All minds clear? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we ask you to dismiss us, we ask that you go with us. But we also ask that you go before us. Help us to be followers. Yes. I just pray that you would lead and guide in each decision we must make this day and this week. I just pray that you would help us in everything to follow you and your will. Go with us now. Lead and guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Just look at me and you. Oh, we can change the way we are. The power lives inside our hearts. We can be anything we want to be. Yeah. If coal can turn to diamonds and sand can turn to pearls, if a worm can turn to a butterfly, then love can turn the world. Oh, love can turn the world. Ooh, la la la, la 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 la, la la la. Ooh, la la la, la 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 la. Oh, la 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 la. The God who all big and little, short and tall, and that's fine, 'cause it takes all kinds. Whoa, if he had made us all alike, it sure would be a boring life, but he knew what a little time could do. Oh, oh. If coal can turn to diamond, if a worm can turn